So after going through the importance and the basic rules and the problems and solutions for the non-native speakers, let's focus on the precise use of subject, verb and adjectives. Let's begin with this thing. Dear learners, of course, if you are here, you don't require the knowledge of grammar. But it is always better to recall some basic points of some basic grammar tips with respect to this use, effective use of subject, verb and adjectives. And these are the simple things which we often forget and skip the things. And this is the most common mistake we made. Let's recall them one by one. From the point of view of grammar, the language must be accurate. And from the point of view of academic writing, the language must be precise. You know, this is the difference between the accuracy and the precision. I think you will be well versed with that thing. In order to improve the quality of your manuscript with respect to the language part, merely knowing about the accuracy of the language, merely focusing on the accuracy point of view is not sufficient. You will have to focus on the quality of overall language. Now, what does it mean? It means that you need to make it precise in terms of language. Let's cover them one by one. First thing is subject verb agreement. We often make this mistake. We know it very well. But when we are making the long sentences, we often commit this mistake. Subject and verb must agree. The verb must agree with the subject. How? Singular of subject must have a singular verb and plural subject must have a plural verb. Just read your sentence aloud. You know, this is one of the most important key or one of the most simple key. Just read your sentence aloud. If it is wrong, it will sound awkward to you. Microsoft Grammar Checker often marks it as red. So, subject verb disagreement is one of the most common mistakes authors commit. Say for example, let's take an example. You see this sentence. Most of the synthetic drugs used for anti-obesity have one or more side effects. You know, we are talking about the drugs. That's why the verb is have. Sometimes subject is not required in scientific writing or academic writing for very obvious reasons. We know that the authors have done it. So, you need not to mention the subject. Let's understand this thing with an example. Animals were sacrificed. Animals were sacrificed by the authors. Or, authors sacrificed the animals. Can you see? All these three sentences are grammatically correct. But from the point of view of academic writing, it is but obvious that authors have sacrificed the animals. So, the first sentence is the precise one to be used. That is, animals were sacrificed. For emphasis, non-living objects may become the subjects of the sentence. So, in academics, when we are writing our research, in research writing, for emphasis, many times non-living objects become the subjects. We often use sentences with the non-living as subjects for the sake of emphasis. As in, the results showed that. The article aims to. You know, the result or the article, they are made as a, are being used as a subject. However, they are non-living things. But that's why I was mentioning that it is required that you must be precise. The preciseness is required. So it is but obvious that when you can use the object, the non-living object as a subject in academic writing.
However, the grammatically it may be somewhat wrong or awkward, but it is okay in the academic writing. It is the use of verb which gives the emphasis to the sentence. But be cautious in replacing the verb for emphasis. The meaning should not be distorted. Synonyms do not have the same meaning. For example, observe in place of see, determine in place of calculate, possess in place of have. So, use the most appropriate verb. Now, what next? Avoid the vague adjectives. It is okay to use the vague adjectives, maybe sometimes in the spoken English, but it is not okay in formal kind of writing, that is academic writing. To emphasize the degree of results, never use the adjectives in rough or vague manner. For example, do not use the language like very good results, very excellent results, tablets were too strong. You know, these are all are vague objectives. These all are vague adjectives. You will have to be very precise most of the time. In many cases, it is questioned by the reviewer. How much good, whether it is statistically significant or not. It is required that adjective must be statistically defined. Not just by saying very good, excellent. You must avoid it. So you are supposed to precisely mention, compare or present the results statistically, not by plain adjectives. Now, do not use unnecessary words. Avoid common or casual words which are generally used in spoken English. Say for example, some sort of, actually. This kind of thing, this kind of words which have actually no meaning. No? In academic writing, they are unnecessary. So don't use these unnecessary words. Let me give you this simple quote that the secret of good writing is to strip every sentence to its cleanest components. Every word that serves no function, every long word that could be a short word, every adverb that carries the same meaning that's already in the verb. You know, these are the thousands and one adulterants that weaken the strength of a sentence. So this was a statement by the William Jenser on writing well. So we learned about the subject, verb and using the adjectives. Now, dear learners, let's discuss about the active voice and passive voice. How we can use effectively both the voices. What is the trend? It is always better to be active. It is always better to write in active voice. Until and unless you are more comfortable with the passive voice, use active voice only. In the classic academic writing, the passive voice is preferred over the active voice, while the modern academic writing focuses on the active voice. However, it is always a debatable question. What is better, active voice or passive voice? But you have to focus on the preference of the journal. What is required by that particular writing style? To write in active or write in passive? Let's back to basics. What is active voice? Subjects plus verb plus object. This is your active voice. What is passive voice? Object plus auxiliary verb plus third form of verb. What is active voice? He prepared it. And what is passive voice? It was prepared by him. So, this was the active and passive voice. You know it very well. So, what are the cases you need to focus on making the passive voice? Make the passive voice if you want. Number one, to emphasize on the object or the objective rather than the subject. For example, nanotechnology was coined by Eric Drexler. So nanotechnology, however, it is an object, but this object is being emphasized here. Secondly, make the passive voice if you want to illustrate a universal or general truth of fact. For example, animal study protocols were approved by ethical committee of institute. Make the passive voice if you want to be polite in tone. Dear learners, passive voice is always polite and less harsh in tone. Animals were sacrificed. Rather, that passive voice is less harsh. Or let's take another example that the formulation with poor results were dropped out for the in vivo study, or the effect was terminated. So in these cases where it looks quite polite, we can use the passive voice to make it more polite. Make the passive voice if you want to avoid the first person. For example, in the academic writing, the focus is on the facts, methods or procedures involved. So passive voice is preferred. We are not focusing who have done it. We are focusing on what has been done. So obviously the passive voice comes in the picture, that it is quite natural to write in passive when we are focusing on the object rather than the subject. Okay? Most of the journals discourage writing in first person to discourage the impersonal tone. Again, the same thing. It is not important that you have done it. You cannot write that I did this or we did this. The journals always try to avoid this thing, to give the impersonal tone. So avoid use of I and we and frame a passive voice construction instead. Skip the subject, and if it is unavoidable, use authors. For example, the effect was studied on diabetic rats, or in previous studies, authors studied the effect of drug on so. Like that, you can put however you are mentioning yourself, but you can write authors rather than I and we. So it gives an impersonal tone. Now, another important factor when we are using both the voices, have a well balance between the active voice and passive voice. Both the voices must be used judiciously in a well-balanced manner. Don't overuse a single type of voice consistently. Have a good balance and avoid monotony in writing. You won't find an article or even a minor section of an article with one single voice. You won't find. Even in a single para, you will find a good mix of active and passive voice. So the good balance is required, and the key of effective writing is the balance between the active and passive writing. The good balance is required. And last but not the least, see the journal's guidelines, what the journals require. Many journals require the preference or the focusing on the active voice rather than the passive voice. For example, British Medical Journal states that write in the active and use the first person where necessary. So it is also a decisive factor what the journal require, what is the expectation of a journal. On the basis of this author's guidelines, we can focus on a particular voice also. So dear learners, what we learned so far? How we can effectively use, how can we use precisely the subject, verb and adjectives? What are the keys to use the active voice and passive voice? How we can use them effectively and naturally? What is the requirement of the journal, whether they focus on that active voice or the passive voice? You just have to check it. Now for the next lecture, we will be discussing use of articles, their judicious use and the effective use of punctuation, avoiding the punctuation errors in our next lecture.